Hey, Sean Gaby here. Welcome to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast.
Hey everyone, Sean Gaby here with the Supernatural Leadership Podcast, talking about the difference between principle-led leadership and presence-led leadership. We all have a leader within. Why not make that leader a little more supernatural? Enjoy today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome again to another Supernatural Leadership Podcast. My name is Sean Gaby. Thank you so much for tuning in, stopping by. Don't forget, rate, review, write a comment, subscribe if you haven't already subscribed, share with your friends. We want to know how this podcast is impacting your leadership. Whatever you're listening from, whatever podcast platform you're on, or if you're watching on YouTube, we're just so thankful that you have connected with us. And so please let us know where you are from and how we can continue to journey with you. Today, we have a very, very special episode, special guest. In fact, a repeated guest, a favorite guest of mine, probably the guest that's been most on my show repeatedly of any other guest. And so excited we're going to have Toyann Crandall. And I want to make sure, just before I bring her on and read her bio, that you are aware, stick around to the very end, because we have a very, very important offer for you at the very end. You're not going to want to miss it. It's time sensitive. So make sure you stick around to the very, very end. So today, we have Toyann Crandall from Canada. She is she's a Canadian just like me, and she's an amazing, amazing businesswoman. She is a woman of God, woman of faith, but she's also a woman of great knowledge and wealth, both in the natural and in the supernatural. And so this is the perfect person to have on today. And for those of you that do not know who Toyann Crandall is, I'm going to read a little bit of her bio to give you up to speed as to who she is and what she's about. From not having enough to provide food for her family to becoming a multimillionaire with 11 streams of income and multiple real estate properties within 4 years, Toyann Crandall's story is nothing short of inspirational. After transforming her own life from homelessness to financial abundance, her coaching platforms, the Self Mastery Academy, and the Money Mindset Shift have trained over 50,000 plus leaders and teams. That's a lot. Helping them change the way they think, create financial freedom, and a lasting legacy through neuroscience-based financial, business, and executive leadership coaching. Toyann is a two-time best-selling author and is sought after for corporations and conferences worldwide. Toyann's expertise has been featured in books like High Road Leadership by John Maxwell. Many of you know who that is. Multiple articles in Success Magazine, Black Enterprise, and The Marilyn Dennis Show. Recognized as a 2023 Success Magazine Top Woman of Influence, and has the Globe and Mail 2023 74th Fastest Growing Company in Canada. Man, this is a mouthful. This is wild. Get ready today, guys. Whether through her award-winning Millionaire Money podcast or her captivating workshops, Toyann Crandall is a go-to expert breaking barriers and helping business owners all over the world break their limiting beliefs about money so they can achieve the success they work so hard for. Toyann, so good to have you back again with us.
It is good to be here. I am so excited for the conversation that we're about to have. You know, this is one of my favorite, genuinely one of my favorite podcasts to come and to just share conversation, because you carry so much wisdom and such amazing leadership. And so I'm really looking forward to today's conversation.
Oh, thank you so much.
I feel like I come in like your listeners going, ooh, what's about to happen?
Oh, that's amazing. that's I take that as a compliment. Appreciate that. And it's always a joy to have you. And I think, honestly, you're probably the most returned guest that I've had. I don't think I've had anybody. I think this is the fourth time I've had you. I don't think I've had anybody.
This is the fourth time. This is such an honor. Thank you.
So you win the Supernatural Leadership Podcast
Award. I'm holding my little trophy.
Yes. most repeated guest. That's amazing. So, you know, thank you for your time. I know you're a busy woman, and I know that you're changing the world. You're changing lives. And right now you're actually coming at me. We're engaging while you're not even in Canada. You're at another event down somewhere in Texas, right?
That's right. I'm out here in Dallas at another event, but I wanted to be here.
Amazing. So thank you so much for stopping by. So one of the things I saw in your bio that I, you know, I think is relatively new, even from what you just shared with me, is that you're featured in one of John Maxwell's, I guess, new book, possibly.
That's
I haven't
right.
heard High Road Leadership by John Maxwell, and you're featured in there. And so, you know, I think a lot of listeners out there, now I know you've been in this game for a long time. You've been in leadership, you've been grinding, you know, you've been working hard, you've been putting yourself in the right environment with the right people at the right time, which all of us out there know that have had any measure of success or experience, any measure of favor, know that when you're in the right time with the right people in the right environment, explosions happen, like breakthroughs happen, new momentum happens. And so just before we dive in, tell us, like, you know, last time I talked to you, you weren't featured in John Maxwell's book. This time I'm talking to you only maybe like a year later, you're featured. What happened in that year time frame to kind of just elevate your influence?
Wow. I think that's an incredible question, Sean, because I would agree with you, right? Like when we spoke last year, you know, getting featured and, you know, John Maxwell, if anyone has read any of his books, like he quotes a lot of different people, but usually it's like a one sentence quote. This person said this thing. And in this book, High Road Leadership, he actually quotes me for 2 pages of the book. And if you had, you know, talked to me last year and said, hey, Toyin, by this time next year, you're going to be in 2 pages of John Maxwell's latest book, I would have been like, John, like, how am I going to even be, you know, how's that even a possibility? But to your point, it is that power of being in the right environment. So what happened was that I had invested to go to a small gathering that John was doing where he was speaking to and training leaders. It was for like a 3-day event. But what I want to share with the listeners, because I want to share what happened so you can pick out of it how you can use this in your own life, right? So I go to this event. Nobody knows me. It's a leadership exchange. He's done it for over 10 years. There were some people who had been there for literally 10 years.
Wow.
And I'm the newbie in town having breakfast. I'm not a real morning person. So whenever I go to all these events, I'm the person that's like pushing it to the end to just squeeze in and be on time. Okay. I get to breakfast. Everyone at my table is literally getting up to go start getting settled in. I'm just starting to eat. So this lady comes over and she's like, hey, I want to keep you company. How's your day? How are you doing? And I'm talking to her while I'm eating. And I said to her, and this is what's important for any of you guys who are listening, is open your mouth and show up, because there are things about you that nobody else knows. And it is this false humility that we sometimes have where we get in environments of transformation and in environments of shift and we keep our mouths shut. So anyway, I'm eating breakfast with her and I say to her, you know what? This was actually a birthday gift to myself. Today is my birthday. And, you know, for me, just getting to meet John Maxwell face to face in a small setting, I thought was just one of the most incredible birthday gifts I could give to myself, because it was a large investment. And what I said was, you know, when I my parents were the ones who actually started off reading a lot of John Maxwell's books. When I was 16, they gave me one of his books. First time, and I got angry because the book they gave me was called Talent Is Not Enough. And I was so mad. I was like, what are you trying to say about me? I was like, are you trying to say that my level of talent is not enough to like make it in life? So, typical teenager, I stuff the book away and do not read it. 2 years later, my life is going through all sorts of crisis. This is when I actually got saved around this time. And one of the things the Lord said to do was pick up that book, Talent Is Never Enough, and read it. Wow. And I read it and I shifted. I was just like, whoa, how have I never thought like this? It totally changed my life. So I'm telling this woman this story, and now we're about to go into the hall. And she goes, wait, hold on right here. You just wait right here. And she runs over. And she comes back. So there's like 50 people. John Maxwell is about to go on stage. She comes back with John Maxwell himself.
Wow.
And she goes, John. Oh, she goes to me, by the way, you didn't know this, but I'm John's personal assistant. I'm his right-hand person.
Wow.
John, you need to meet this woman and you need to hear her story. So now we have this introduction moment, and I'm just like, thank you so much for what you've done. You know, just honoring him for the way he has led the way in this leadership conversation. And then he does like a little video for my parents, just honoring them.
Wow, that's so cool.
Everybody's crying. It was powerful.
Wow.
But this isn't the book yet. I get in the main hall. So this is the power of just showing up and opening your mouth. I get in the main hall. And from the stage, they welcome everybody. And then they say, today is a special day for two people. You know, it's some people's birthday. And I was like, ooh, somebody told the MC. Okay, great. So they celebrate the first person. Now, guys, the power of environment and prayer. Before I went to this event, I prayed a very specific prayer. I thought it was random, but this is what I prayed. I said, God, I'm going into a new space. I know nobody, but I pray that by the time I leave that room, they will know my name for good. That was my prayer. God, I pray that they will know my name for good. This man says, you know, it's someone's birthday. He calls the first lady. It was a woman named Stephanie. And then he goes, and it is also Taryn's birthday. Now, my name's not Taryn. My name's Toyin. So I stand up and I'm like, my name's Toyin. And he goes, Torin? And I'm like, Toyin. And he goes, you know, Toya. And so now the whole room starts saying Toyin. And so the whole room has to say it back to him.
They all know your name now.
They know my name.
Wow.
So that happens. Then John starts speaking. And he was speaking from this new book that he was about to release called High Road Leadership. And he said something in the beginning of his speech. He said, I'm going to share with you guys parts of what I have already in my manuscript and what I've been thinking about. But I also want to hear from you guys what you guys think about this conversation. And so I'm in this room and I'm listening. And man, guys, John Maxwell has a gift of wisdom. Like that whole weekend, I don't know how many notes I took. My mind was just being blown. So as I'm learning from him, at the end of his first session, he goes, now, I would love to hear from you guys. What can you add to what I just said? And there's a part of me going like, who can add anything to what you just said? Like, this was amazing. And there's another part of me that goes, when you're in the room, you add value. Wow. So without knowing what was going to come out of my mouth, I just put my hand up.
Wow.
And, you know, someone else speaks and then he says, could you share Toyin? Because now everybody knows my name. And I stand up and I start talking to him about some of the work we do with emotional homes and how emotional homes impact people's leadership because it's where they anchor back to when they're under pressure. And he's just like, this is fascinating. I've never heard it explained in this way. And he goes, I'd love to quote you in my book. Is that okay with you? Of course, we would give you credit. And I was like, is it okay with me?
Is that what you said? Is that what you said to him?
Like, no, that's what I thought.
Oh, so you thought, okay. I was like, sure, of course.
Out of my mouth. I was like, oh, absolutely. And then he, you know, connected me with his writer, Charles Wendell, who I also really honored. That man has worked with John and worked with him to write over 100 books at this point. So, you know, that's kind of what happened. But what, for those of you guys who are listening, there's a couple of things I want you to hear that just took place. Number one, I made an investment to get in an environment that was completely outside of my comfort zone. That was totally different from any of the other spaces I had been in. And what was so interesting while I was there, one of the nuggets that I took from John was John Maxwell himself said every single month he makes it a point to get in environments that are new to him so that he's always learning something different, something fresh.
Now let's just stop there. Let's just lean into that first thought, because I think there's a huge roadblock for most people putting themselves in unfamiliar environments, because you know this, we all know this to some degree, like unfamiliar environments provoke your insecurity.
Correct.
Provoke your poverty mentality. I don't belong here. I don't fit here.
I'm not worthy of being at this table.
I'm a fish out of water. So many mindsets, right? So then for some people, they don't even allow themselves to go there. Now, not only did you put yourself in that environment, I'm also going to assume that you made a sacrifice to be in that environment. Absolutely. Financially, you probably made a financial, whereas some people are only willing to do what's convenient. Correct. When it comes to like investment, like, okay, that's, I can afford that. It's convenient.
Yes.
But we know this as kingdom people, wherever there is a sacrificial investment made, led by God, there is always a radical breakthrough and return that follows every time. And it says in Luke chapter 2, speaking of Jesus, Jesus grew in favor with God, and then he grew in favor with man.
Correct.
Favor with God and man. And so you, to me, you have spent so much time cultivating this realm of God favor. You've been faithful. Yeah. You've been stewarding what God has given you. And then there are moments like these when you step out in God's favor that now God says, okay, I'm going to let man recognize you.
Yeah.
And this is the overflow of my favor.
And I want to say, even to what you said about that place of making those radical investments to get in those spaces and push ourselves out of our comfort zone, you don't ever see the other side before you get there. You know, like I think about, we have this event that we host. It's called Millions Retreat. And last year we held it in Atlanta. This year it's going to be in Toronto. And last year there was someone who showed up, and I just love that you said this because it literally just popped in my mind. She showed up to that event. And at one point I came off the stage and she's like, Toyin, I need to talk to you. And I'm talking to her and she said, Toyin, I literally used like my last of my last to just get in this room because Toyin, over the last 2 years, my life has been hit in such a way like you couldn't imagine. She was like, my marriage has just broken apart. My job, my business shut down. I lost the house. Like, she was just like, literally every part of my life feels like it has fallen apart. And I just came because I knew I needed something to just shift me out of this spiral that I was in. And so she's just telling this to me and tears are rolling down her face. Mm. And I'm hugging her. And one thing that I just kept saying out of my mouth was, your story cannot end like this. Your story will not end like this. And so I'm just repeating it over her. She decides that she's going to work with us. So over the next 4 months, we came back to like a blank slate drawing board. What are we doing with your life? What do you want? Do you want to restart a business? Do you want to get into your consultancy with your career? So she decides she wants to do a career. She has been out of the job force for 2 years. So it's not just, now she has to explain why she's out of the job force. Why are you coming back? You know, and we just coached her through the whole process. Sean, do you want to know what happened to this woman 4 months after this gathering? Wow. Four months later, she calls me and she says, Toyin, you won't believe it, but it's happened. Not only did I land the dream position that I told you I wanted to go after, but they're paying me over $200,000 per year to do the work that they're calling me in to do. Wow. My house is being restored. You know, like, she's just like, my stuff is getting back together. And it was one of those moments where I can just imagine, from what you were just saying about making those radical sacrificial investments, I could just imagine her 4 months earlier feeling like she truly was in a place she had never been in her life, because she's a leader. Mm. And making this, like, it was a sacrifice because we were in Atlanta and she lived in Canada. So she had to fly over, do all the stuff, get the hotel and whatever. But being like, all I know is I need an environment for breakthrough to get out of my current thinking. And I think that for a lot of people, what holds them back is they can only see what they currently see. So you know how the word talks about the just will live by faith. Jesus said to Thomas, you believe now because you saw. You felt my hands, you felt the holes. But he said, blessed are those who can see, who can believe without seeing. And so for many of us, like even for me, going to that John Maxwell event, when I tell you it was a few of us, there was an investment for that level of proximity to be having dinner with him and going all over the place. But I knew You can't make this type of investment and show up, because that's the second half that we got to get to. You can't make that investment and show up and go back home and be the same person. Yeah. It's impossible if you're doing it in Christ.
Right. That's amazing.
Hey, pause, a little commercial break. If you haven't already, I want to encourage you, and you're wanting to take your supernatural leadership to the next level, visit supernaturalleadership.com and join one of our on-demand courses. It is going to change the game. So many amazing testimonies already have come out of people over the years taking this course content. I want to encourage you, sign up today. We have a special offer for you. And as well, if you want to go even deeper and take your leadership to the next level, I would encourage you, and maybe you've already thought about this before, but getting a coach, a one-on-one mentor. Well, I have an opportunity that I want to invite you into with myself, one-on-one mentoring and coaching. It may be a short time or even a longer time. We have many different coaching packages that we offer, and I want to encourage you to consider this today. I believe it will take your leadership to the next level. Dream interpretation, growing in your discipleship, growing in the word, maybe even preparation for you for vocational ministry and bringing the supernatural into every sphere of society. I want to encourage you today, click the link in the description, fill out the survey, and we'll see if coaching is a good fit for you.
You know, I hearing you share this, I keep thinking back to, you know, what you said about when John Maxwell opens up his mouth and says, does anybody want to add to this? So many people in that environment, and I know that I'm guilty of it in previous situations and in seasons of my own life, where I'm like, well, I don't feel like I'm the qualified person to respond, even though in my mind I have something, I could probably share something, it probably is really good, but somehow there's a convincing, a personal internal convincing that it's not good enough.
Yes.
And I'm new in the environment and I don't belong in this environment. And so almost it's like a, I would say it's like an attack of false humility where you actually think that muzzling yourself is a form of honor and lowering yourself in the environment, you know, where you're celebrating and championing others. But honestly, I think if God's put you in environments like that, the very opposite is actually happening. It's actually, you're muzzled because of your pride, not because of humility. And the enemy has convinced you that it's humility, but really what he's trying to do is shut you up.
Just keep you shut. And muzzle you.
And honestly, like, how do you deal? Because I was thinking about this and I want to see how you deal with it. Like, I've been in environments so much in the last several years that I'm like, how did I get here? Like, you know, I would have thought either one, I would never be in these environments, or two, I wanted to be in those environments. Now I'm in those environments and now I see the wrestling of my mindset. So you said a comment, you said that girl, that woman that came, she knew that if she could just get in the right environment, it would take her out of, you know, previous mindsets. And so I believe this, that either one, being in the right environment will actually take you out of old mindsets. Or being in the right environment will provoke your bad mindsets. And so there's that duality where we wrestle to renew our mind in that environment. And then there's the sovereign aspect where God throws us into an environment and radically does the work. But I believe that the majority of the time we're held responsible to renew our thinking. I was just in an environment like literally last weekend in New York City with some of the wealthiest philanthropists in all of New York City. I'm talking about multi billionaires, guys that own like the majority of real estate in New York City. And I'm here interacting at this philanthropy event, speaking to these guys, speaking to these women. And I'm like, how did I get here? And I have to wrestle with like, hey, if God put me here, if God brought me to it, he's qualified me for it. Even if I don't feel like I have anything to offer, obviously God sees inside of me what I don't see, and I have something to offer. So how do you deal with that when you're in an environment where you're like, I got nothing to offer. I'm just like Toyin from Canada.
Like, how'd I get here? You know what's so funny is that when you, so I'm going to answer the question, so please don't let me not answer this question. But I also want to add that when you can learn how to do what we're about to talk about, which is how to train your brain to get used to the doors that God's opening for you, is when he is now able to open more and more and more doors for you, which is part of how we end up getting in these spaces and going, what just happened? Because like maybe 3 weeks from now or 2 weeks from now. So Sean, you mentioned we're the 74th fastest growing company in Canada, in our country. And this year we were announced to be on the fastest growing list again. And I went to the event last year. They had 400 of the top fastest growing companies, and all the CEOs or representatives were in the room, and we're networking and kind of learning from one another. And here's something that was super interesting was I remember having a conversation with someone where he said, you know, because it's, you know, if you're one of the fastest growing companies and you're on the list, which means you actually like said, hey, check my financials, and because they have to check it with taxes and all the things, like, it matters. You're like, okay, thank you, God, we did this. So I'm talking to this dude and he's like, you know, because growth at all costs, right? Like it was this like growth at all costs, no matter what, you just got to keep growing. And I remember talking to him and just, you know, thinking to myself, because it's my first time on the list, first time in the event. But I think I thought to myself, for me, it's not growth at all costs. And I know for other people in that room as well, it's not growth at all costs, right? It's like, if I'm going to grow, my marriage needs to stay intact. My relationship with Jesus needs to stay intact.
Right.
My relationship with my children need to. So I just remember being like thinking last year, I wish I could just mention that to this group, that it's amazing to grow. It's beautiful to grow, but it's never at all costs, because there are certain things in our lives that are much more valuable than growth in our companies. Here's the wild part.
Wow.
We get on the list this year, and then I get an email and they say, hey, Toyin, never spoken to any of the organizers. We've been checking you out over the last year, and we would like you to come on stage, and we'd like you to share with the group of 400 fastest growing companies in the nation. Just your thoughts on wealth and growth and blah, blah, blah. And I just remember thinking like, wow, God.
Wow.
I just thought I would love to just say, and you know, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, I'm going to get up there and I am going to speak to all the things. But one of the sentences that are going to come out of my mouth is it's never growth at all costs, because our families matter. Our health matters, you know, because you don't want to sacrifice these things. So I just want to say, guys, that when you can learn to show up in these environments in the power that God has placed inside of you, these types of doors open. So now, how did I get here? Because the truth is, I think fear is one of the top things that I personally am very mindful of, and that really tempts me. That's just the truth. So like people see me all the time and they see me on stages and just killing it. And they're like, oh my gosh, Toyin just is like this super human woman person. And I'm like, what you don't know is the temptation to walk in fear is real for me. But one of the things that I have trained myself to do, and I don't just do it in business, I will look for different ways to do this, is one of the top things that beats fear is action. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah.
But for a lot of believers, can I say something? Okay. For a lot of people, when they hear perfect love casts out fear, they think perfect love like this ooh feeling. Like perfect love is just this feeling, and it just removes the fear and we just feel better. But what was love? What did the Bible say God did to demonstrate his love for us? He took action. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. Love is an action. In fact, there's another verse that says, let us not just love in our words, but in our deeds, in our action. Yeah, then there's another verse that was it this year that I read it and it blew my mind. It said, you know, the verse that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So this year, God had me do a word study on the sound mind portion. And what I found out was the direct translation of that word was actually self-control. And self-control is what? It's an action. It's either you're intentionally holding yourself back from doing something you would have done, or your intent, because people think of self-control and they always think of inhibit, holding back. But self-control is also the last thing I want to do is put my hand up right now. But I'm going to walk in self-control and I'm going to let my hand go up even though I'm feeling the fear. My sweat glands are activated and my hands are a little bit trembly as I put them up. And I think that's one of the disciplines that I have had for myself and trained myself in over the years is when I think something and I feel like God is saying to do it, but I also feel that wrestle inside like Toyin, who do you think you are? What are you going to say? You don't even know. The main thought I ask myself is it fear speaking? And once I can identify this is fear speaking, I take the opposite action immediately. I literally like we wanted to jump off of a cliff, like a physical cliff into water. And, you know, me and water have a love hate thing. And I have my life jacket, but I truly felt fear. And for many people, when they feel that type of fear, they don't do it. I just never mind. Why? But it was this same principle. And I remember they were counting me down. It was taking me a very long time. And I said, get my daughter. My daughter's on this trip. We're in the Dominican. My husband swims all like a fish. So he had already done his pose and gone down. And so I'm like, get my daughter. So my daughter comes over and I'm like, you count me down. Why? Because anytime you feel fear, you need a why that's greater than that fear. I knew that my daughter counting me down and seeing me face my own fear was a why that was greater than that fear. So she counts me down and my response wasn't like, let me think about it, let me do this. I literally thought to myself, Toyin, just put one foot in front of the other until there's nothing under your feet. That was my plan. So while everybody else had like these cute videos of like posing, going down this cliff and jumping, you literally watch this video and I run and I just keep running in the air.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Into the water. I was just like, I did it. I did the dang thing. And I think for many of us, we just allow the voice of fear and the what if I embarrass myself, the inner critic, which is literally the lie of the enemy to hold us back from what God has called us to do. And then we call it humility.
I love that. I love that. You know, and in that scripture you referenced, you know, that, you know, where God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, self-control, sound mind. That word fear is also is the word cowardice. It's the word, it's the coward, not like a, it's not a fear, like just a fear, like I'm afraid of spiders. It's like, I'm cowering away from this moment. Really relying on myself and being dependent upon myself rather than an external reality, which is the God reality. And, you know, I really believe this, that there's a couple things in this, is that often where we most fear, there is great treasure hidden in the thing we most fear. Treasure for our own lives, treasure for our own breakthrough. In fact, a lot of the areas where we most fear, our gifts are the most predominant.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about some of like the pleasure seeking things. I'm not talking about just I'm afraid of roller coasters or afraid of heights. Like there are things that we fear in our life and like within our calling. Within our calling, that often when we're in fear, we're just reflecting the very opposite. We're reflecting the very thing that we're actually most gifted in, but we're reflecting the opposite, you know. And I believe
that's what the enemy attacks the most when he sees that you are anointed to do a specific thing. And he knows that when you step into that thing, that's the thing that's going to break other people open to the kingdom of God. What's he going to do? He's not going to come and give you fear of all these other things. No, he's going to come after that exact thing because that's the area that he needs to hold you back in.
It's true. And I think this, I think the areas where you often most fear is also a part of the thing that is often the most fun. So I believe that fun often is on the other side of fear. Like if I overcome my fear of public speaking in a moment, there is a joy and a fun that comes after breaking through that, that I'll never experience. Now, this could be applied to a lot of areas. Like, let's say going on a roller coaster, you know, there could be great fun, but first I have to push through the fear. Once I'm on the coaster and I'm actually in it, all of a sudden I realize, oh my gosh, it's not as scary as I thought it was. There is fun often on the other side of fear. But man, like when you're in those environments, I can relate to that. I feel like fear, a lot of people think that people that are on the stage have platforms never struggle with fear. I think people on the stage probably struggle the most with fear. They're just, they made a decision. I'm going to live fighting fear. I'm not going to live in fear.
Under fear.
I'm going to fight fear.
Right. And you know what's, can I give a little neuroscience hack to our listeners? Okay. Let me give y'all a little neuroscience hack, right? When you're in, when whether it's a big deadline that's coming up or a presentation, or you're in one of these environments and you feel all the feelings and your nerves are acting up, okay? You need to understand this. And I've shared this with my clients numerous times and it always breaks them through. Anxiety and nerves has the same feeling as excitement. Take that in, okay? Nervousness, anxiety is the same feeling in your gut, in your body. It triggers the same physical response as excitement does. And so often you can actually brain hack yourself into what we're talking about, where you take the very nerves that you're feeling coming into that situation and you say, wow, this is a sign of how excited I am. Like, whew, I'm really, really looking forward to this. I'm so excited about this. And it literally, it's the same feeling. So you can trick your brain to be on the anticipation side of that feeling versus the dread side of that feeling. Because the dread side of that feeling is what gives people that blankness that happens in their mind, where when they get there, there's so much cortisol they've released because of the stress that they've associated with this activity, that their logical brain starts shutting down from cortisol. Whereas if you lean into the excitement, you lean into the moment, it actually releases what? Adrenaline, which helps your brain to be sharper. And like, you just start hitting it and thinking of things you never thought of. And you're like, whoa, who is that? What just happened? But, and then one last thing I want to share for you guys as a hack is a scripture where the Lord said, when you stand before kings, and this is another thing that I really lean on, when you stand before kings, the Holy Spirit, and that was a very nerve-wracking moment because he said, they will call you in to kill you. Mm-hmm. And he said, don't even think about what you're going to say. And I'm not saying don't go and prepare yourself if you have a speaking engagement, but he said, be so relaxed that you're not stressing about what you're going to say. Because when you stand there, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And so whenever I put my hand up, I also believe that I've done the homework, right? So this isn't also just like, you haven't done research. You haven't tried to study and apply yourself. You're just like, ooh, let me just go, da, da, da. But when you've actually done that work, you're living that life, you're helping people, you're speaking about it, you're doing it, then who stops you? What stops you from putting your hand up and being like, yeah, I do have something to contribute.
And I would say that, you know, that's part of you stewarding your gift of leadership. Like John Maxwell stewarded his gift of leadership. Everyone knows John Maxwell as like the leadership guy. I don't think anybody can really be on his level. I mean, because he was a pioneer. He was a forerunner in an age where there wasn't a lot of leadership guys. Yes. Right now, it's like everyone's a leadership guru. Everyone's a leadership guy. Everyone has a leadership podcast. Not knocking it, but it's like it's a saturated market. The question now is like, who are the real bona fide, genuine leaders like the John Maxwells? Well, he stewarded his gift. Well, you have a gift of leadership. You have a gift in being able to build business, build people, help people go from A to B. You have a gift that you've stewarded. Solomon said, your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men.
Woo! Yes.
And but I love that this concept of the gift will make room. Why would you need the gift to make room? Because there's some things in the room that are in the way. So the gift, the gift actually moves out some of the things in the room to get you in the other places and in the other environments that you need to be in, that unless you stewarded your gift, you would have never got into.
Right.
And Solomon, the wisest of all leaders at that time, said that statement. Like, he was the...
Something just like, this is amazing. I love what you just shared, because even I'm going to sit in this a little bit more. But something that came to my mind as you were saying this and as I'm listening to it was, part of how our gift creates that room is our recognition of the gift. And when you can recognize that gift and begin to steward it, like you said, you drop other things, because often the reason the gift isn't making room, or the often the reason you're not getting to the place where you're leveraging the gift before great men is because you're doing so many different things and the gift. And you don't see the gift, and you're just distracted and you're cluttered. But when you can get to a place of clarity, this is why I'm so excited about our millions retreat that we're about to do. Because when you can get clarity on what your gift is, what your calling is, where you're leaning in, how to steward it, it drops a lot of the other distractions. That makes room for the gift to get better and better and better. And all of a sudden you find yourself before great men.
Yeah. And the key is better and better, because a gift, like your natural born gift, is not the skill. And I was sharing this with our community the other day. You're not, when you're first born, you're not born a carpenter.
That's
carpentry
right.
is a skill you learn, but you might be born with a gift to steward and work with your hands. And so a gift that we're talking about is not learned, it's refined.
Because so talent is never enough.
Right. Woo! So you gotta figure out the wrestle in this conversation now with where we're at with this topic. The wrestle is, what is my gift? What was I born for? Now, from that realization, I develop skills that now are an extension of my gift. If I am a musician, gifted musician, I might choose to develop the skill of piano, the skill of drums, the skill of guitar.
Precisely.
But I wasn't born a guitarist. I wasn't born a drummer. I was a musician in my gift. And then I chose the skill of this specific instrument. So gifts are not learned. They're refined over time. And so you said it, becoming better and better is part of stewarding the gift. And that's what actually creates room for us and
that's
brings
right.
us before great men. Now, back to the environment thing, because I want to just close on this and then talk about something very exciting that you're offering. The gift will bring you into, I believe, everyone's gift has levels to it, right? And you bringing your gift in a certain environment, let's say in the room of John Maxwell, that's going to now take your gift and it's going to expand its influence. It's going to grow your gift being in the right environment. But I want to talk to the guy that's not in the John Maxwell environment. What about the guy like Joseph that had his favorite jacket ripped up, is in a pit, or is falsely accused in jail, or the guy that's at home, everything's falling apart. His gift is still there, but he's like, where's my room? Where's my environment? Well, I want to say this to you, is that Toyann's homeless environment was just as important as Toyann being in the environment with John Maxwell. What she learned being homeless actually was a part of setting her up to be in the room with John Maxwell. What Joseph learned in jail was actually what set him up to be second in command to Pharaoh. What do you say to that?
I'm wowed. Guys, this is fire. Okay. I hope you hear what he just said. I hope y'all heard what Sean just said. It is 1,000% true. Because if you can't identify, steward that gift in places that are unseen, how can God trust you to bring it and steward it and use it effectively in on platforms?
Yeah.
And I can think back to when, like you said, We were struggling like you cannot imagine it. We literally had an air mattress that was our couch. But guess what we did back then? We would host gatherings and we would call people together, and I would host a Bible study every week. And for an hour before the Bible study, I didn't have a multi-million dollar business. I didn't have a big house. In fact, at one point we were squatting in my sister's house, and so I brought the whole Bible study now into her house, right? And 1 hour before a Bible study would start, guess what I would do? I would coach and I would share the wisdom.
So you're refining your gift.
Refining my gift without the resources that people always think I need this and I need this. And when God gives me all these things, then I will be able to step into the gifting he's placed on me. But literally, I can tell you story after story of year after year of just doing the thing he said to do. And he goes, okay, Toyin, let me add to what you know. And before I knew it, the things we were now learning started to allow that gift to begin to actually provide for our family. Wow. And take us out of that place of struggle and into a place of multiplication.
Wow, that's amazing. So what we're saying, I think we're saying two things here now. We're saying your gift will actually bring you into environments
Right.
that are needed to take you to the next level, and environments will actually help you develop your gift.
Yes.
To then continue that process. So it's both environment and gift, and it multiplies. And it's like a circle. It's cyclical. It's a circle. Yes. It just keeps on reproducing. And I think, so whether you're Joseph in the prison or you're Joseph in the palace, whether you're Toyin homeless or you're Toyin featured in John Maxwell's book, whatever environment you currently are living in, if you choose to lean in to refine your natural God-given gift,
yes,
you will find yourself in the right environment that will continue to accelerate and develop that gift. And at the same time, if you're going to steward your gift, you have to be willing to sacrifice and put yourself in the right environment intentionally. Okay. So you can shift your mindset and shift your environment. Now, you have something really powerful, and you always offer something so incredible. And I love bringing you on because you give a follow-up. You give a next step plan to our guests on how they can take what we're talking about and go to the next level. They can go deep with it and take it to the next level. And you have opportunities for people to work with you, come alongside with you. You help walk them alongside with them. Help grow their business, grow their leadership, grow their whatever it is they put their hands to. Tell us quickly about what your offerings. I know it's time sensitive, and it's coming up.
So we've got two things that for all of you guys, if any of our conversation today resonated for you, there's two things that we have for you. And like I said, like Sean said, I think it's a joy to be able to give back. So the first thing that we're doing is we host an environment for breakthrough. And so we have something called Millions Retreat. This is where we have both career professionals, business owners, leaders in the marketplace, in ministry. They come into one room and two things happen. Number one, God meets us. And so it is like, we are not ashamed of it. We give him room. Last event, people were telling others, like, get ready, man, woman, you're going to cry at some point. And they were, even I was expecting that to happen at different times in the event. It always happens. People always have breakthrough. Session one, God breaks out, and half of the room's on their knees, tears. And I was like, God, I know you always show up, but session one, and it's a business conference. So the second half of it is a business. It's a business setting where we actually talk to you very in depth about sales, about marketing, about presenting yourself online for the career professionals. We're going to be talking about social media, many different things that actually elevate the way that you show up in the world, so that whatever gift God's given you, people are actually able to see it and receive it, and you're still rewarding it. So if you want to come and join us, we're going to be in Toronto. It's Millions with an S, retreat.ca. And it'll very likely, I'll send the podcast the link so y'all can see that. But the second thing that we're doing is I put together something for your listeners, and I'm really excited about it. If you're listening on audio, you can't see how much I'm smiling right now. but we have a training where we are showing career professionals and business owners how to scale your income, how to own your financial power, and how to make money work for you. And we're doing a little promotion where when you listen to this podcast, we're going to give Sean a link. He's going to put it up under the podcast. If you come in within 5 days, if you decide that you're going to work with our team, you watch the training and you say, okay, I want to do this, we're actually giving you 75% off. Woo-hoo. Of our normal pricing. We've never done it before. Wow. 75.
So celebrate the 75th fastest growing company, right? That's what it
Ooh,
is.
Ooh, I like that. I like, we're 74, but I'll take that
74.
Too.
Okay, 74.
So cool. Yeah.
Knock 1% off.
But yeah. He's like, no, we're not going to miss that one. But yeah, it's what we're offering to you guys. So make sure whenever you listen to this podcast, you want to go to moneymindsetshift.ca or just find the podcast link and you'll see the link under there as well.
Yes, we're going to include all the information in the description below here. So make sure. So the Millions Retreat is late October.
Correct.
That's happening in Toronto, Canada.
17th to 19th.
And is it limited? Are seats filling up? Like, is there a capacity limit?
Yes, it is. Okay. So we have there's different ticket levels, and some of the people who are coming are actually going to be coming to my golf side estate. So you guys are going to be coming to my private home, and there's a part of the event where we're actually going to be together at my home. That one has only got like 3 tickets left. And then for the rest of the tickets, I think we've got about 50 of them available. So we're expecting over 100 people. Already have 100 tickets sold. We're expecting 150 people in the room. So if you're listening, run, go and grab those tickets ASAP. The early bird discount is there, but it's going to be leaving as well very soon. So you want to make sure that you get over there.
And that's a 3-day event.
It's a 3-day event. And our events are not normal. So you don't come thinking, oh, 9 to 5, and then I go home and blah, blah, blah. No, we are there and we are present. You are working. You are changing. You are shifting from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Like, wow. People don't want to go at the end. They're like, I'm like, it's dinner time. Shouldn't we be leaving? And the audience is like, we'll figure it out, Toya. Just keep going. Like, it's wow. That type of event.
Wow, that's crazy. That's awesome. I would encourage everyone listening. Retreats are so powerful. It's a full immersion experience. It's like it's a launch of baptism, into the new season. And so check that out, as well as the money mindset shift stuff that she talked about. It requires you to sign up within 5 days to get the 75% discount as soon as this podcast goes live. So I want to make sure you guys connect. You won't regret it. I know so many people that have connected with Toyin's stuff, her offerings in the past, and have just been so, so impacted in their world, in their leadership, and in their business. So you don't want to miss that. Toyin, this was an amazing time, amazing conversation. I want to challenge everybody listening out there to put their gift in a new environment in the next 30 days. Take their gift, take themselves. Hey, say, find an environment, find an event, find something. Maybe it's this event that Toyin's offering, this retreat. Put yourself in a new environment. Bring yourself, bring your gift, put your gift into that new environment and watch what God does and what he develops within your gift and through your life. And so I want to encourage you, today's activation, we always give an activation at the end. I want to activate you to do something, make a sacrifice. Make an intentional sacrifice, an investment into an environment that will take your gift to the next level. You're maybe one event away from having your John Maxwell moment, you know, your wow moment, someone that you've been praying to connect with. You just don't know. When you put yourself in the right environment, anything could happen. And so do that. And I know that God will do an amazing thing. Toyin Crandall, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's genuinely an honor. And this conversation was definitely even more than what I was anticipating. And this is why I love coming on this podcast, because you just walk in the spirit and it comes out of you once we start speaking. I love it. Thank you.
Amazing. Well, it's easy talking to you too as well. So I'm so thankful for you. And for those listening out there, once again, whatever walk you are walking right now, whatever sphere you are living in, you all have a leader within. So let's help make that leader a little more supernatural in Jesus' name. Hey, love you all. Thank you so much for stopping by. Once again, share, rate, review, and we will see you next time.
If this podcast has been an investment into your life and or impacted you in any way, we are incredibly thankful. We would love for you to join us in being able to continue bringing leadership content like this every month. Of course, it does not come without a cost, and our heart is to continue bringing you more improved quality and content. If you would like to partner with us with a one-time financial gift or to sign up as a monthly partner, you can do so at kingdomculture.ca. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast.